following is a presentation of the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Network. It's the Horn High School Spotlight with Craig Way, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of Austin area high school football. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Texas Longhorns, and one of the Lone Star State's most respected figures on Friday Night Lights, Craig Way.
You'll have to indulge me a little bit there. I went to see Herb Alpert last night and Lonnie Hall at the Paramount. What a great show. Dude is 84 and still bringing it with the Tijuana Brass. Well, that was from the days of the Tijuana Brass. It's a Taste of Honey. We give you a taste of high school football here on the program. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the High School Spotlight here on the Horn. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us here all the way up until 11 o'clock, and then it's midday with Trey and BK. Busy program today, but then again, aren't all days busy with it. Among those things that we have coming up just a few minutes from now, we'll visit with Rob Schoenfeld, the head coach of the Glenn Grizzlies. Big matchup for Glenn in the crazy mixed up world of 13-5A Division II, as they'll take on the Eastview Patriots on Friday night at the Georgetown ISD Athletic Complex at Birkelbach Field. So that'll be on Friday night. We'll visit with him coming up. Of course, this being Wednesday means our weekly conversation with the head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. That's Todd Dodge. He'll be in studio to talk about, review the game with Lake Travis and the one-point loss. And Westlake right there with a chance, actually had the six-point lead in the fourth quarter, 25-19. And then after Lake Travis scored to go up on the touchdown pass to Grayson Sandlin with about 4 minutes to go, back comes Westlake down the field and came up just short on a field goal attempt that could have won the game for them. It didn't, and now Westlake goes back to work with the Del Valle Cardinals coming into Shapp Stadium on Friday. So we'll visit with Coach Dodge about that. We have our Whataburger Top 5 for this Wednesday, and the top five is always, as we bring it to you on Wednesdays, the top five players to watch this week. Now, this task, not that I'm asking anybody else to undertake it, but this task is always gets a little more difficult when you get to the latter part of the season because there's so many important games, and there are crucial players, as we know, on each of these teams. So, you know, that's what makes it a little more difficult, especially because the games really ramp up in importance. And one thing I wanted to do real quickly here before we visit with Coach Schoenfeld is to let you know about some of the big games coming up in the area this week. Now, this is not to be confused with the top five road trips tomorrow or even the top five matchups, because there's more than five that are important. We select five because it's part of the Whataburger top five. However, there are some other matchups. So just to give you the quick overview of what we're watching this week and the games that you need to understand what's going down. In 13-6A, Vandegrift is going to try to go to 8-0 before they have their open date coming up next week. The Vipers play Westwood. Westwood still has a shot at the playoffs, but they would need some help and or a huge win. It would be a gigantic win over Vandegrift on the road if they were able to do that. So that's one of the matchups there. Of course, Stony Point and Round Rock, we've talked about it being one of the key matchups, not only in these parts, but in the state this week in 6A. And then there's another one, Vista Ridge and Cedar Ridge is really, really important. It's not quite, but almost an elimination game between those two. So, you know, and both have two district losses right now, and both have tough district games remaining. So, Vista Ridge and Cedar Ridge will meet, and that'll be on Friday night. And is, hey, Wax, Anna Wagner, of course, calls the Vista Ridge games on the Horn webcast network for my IHS fan. That one's a dragon, isn't it?
It is a dragon.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because Stony is the home team against Round Rock. So, therefore, that one's at Dragon Stadium on Friday night. So, Vista Ridge at Cedar Ridge. So, all of those are important out of 13 6A. In 25 6A, Lake Travis has the week off, as we mentioned. And, of course, Westlake is at home against Del Valle this week. But there's another big, big matchup. Anderson and Austin High at House Park. And, again, that's almost kind of an elimination game of sorts. And you can hear that contest on the Horn this Friday night on the Horn 104.9. And the reason for that, obviously, with Lake Travis having an open date, we had an open spot on the schedule. So you'll hear Austin High against Anderson Friday night on the Horn. And, of course, it's, you know, the Austin High broadcast have been on the Horn webcast network, powered by IHS Fan all season long, with Brad Kellner on the call, and BK will be at the call on Friday night, but you can also hear it on the Horn Friday night, Anderson and Austin High. So that's a big one. Bowie and Akins you can catch on 105.3 The Bat. By the way, Bucky Godbolt, he of Lake Travis analysis fame, is going to step in with Dee Hansen on Friday night, kind of our own little crossover event, so to speak. That's because Steve Foster will be out on Friday. So Foss subbed in for Bucky last week on the Lake Travis-Westlake game, and Bucky will step in for Foss on Friday night's Bowie Akins contest. A little crossover there, and Bucky will join Dee Hansen for the call of Bowie and Akins on 105.3 The Bat. And don't forget, obviously, on the Horn Webcast Network, you can catch Unbeaten Hayes against Lehman in the Battle of the Hayes ISD. So that's big there. And in 5A, just a couple other matchups to make you aware of. I think everybody is well aware of the huge matchup at Gupton on Friday night, Cedar Park hosting Hutto. It's not the only important game out of that district, but it does take on the headline story. But Maynard is trying to go to 3-0 in district, and they have Connolly at home on Friday. Connolly got its first district win last week, and then you have Pflugerville is playing Georgetown, and that's an important matchup there. In 12 5A D1, Crockett is playing LBJ. That's tomorrow night, and that game is the one, KBVO's big game of the week, so Roger Wallace will join us tomorrow morning to preview that matchup there, and Seguin and McCallum, that's an important one. And then finally, and this leads us to our first guest, 5A Division 2, as I like to say, in the crazy mixed up world of 13-5A Division 2. It's almost like every week, every game in this district, once they got in the league play, was going to be really crucial. Weiss is 3-0 in the district. They're playing at Cedar Creek. Brenham's 3-0 in the district. They host Elgin. And Bastrop's playing Marble Falls. And those, and then on top of that, the one other huge game is Glenn at Eastview. And joining us here on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to talk about that, Rob Chainfield, the head coach of the Glenn Grizzlies. Rob, thanks for the time. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. It's great to have a little bit of cooler weather and a little feels like football, and we're glad to be on with you.
Yay. Does that make everybody, I don't know, practice when it's a little cooler, run a little faster, maybe hit with a little more intensity, all that other kind of stuff? They feel a little more acclimatized to football weather when you get them on the practice field during a week like this?
I think it does. It's like a bunch of young puppies getting turned out and just running around with a little bit more vigor, because hopefully we have the 100-degree days behind us.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. A very impressive performance at your defense, at really your team overall, but also your defense in what it did in last week's win. And I wanted to get your thoughts on with your win over Cedar Creek, your guys, the approach that they took, and what you saw from them going into that.
I think as coaches, we're extremely proud of how we responded Cedar Creek week, both during our preparation phase during the week and then on Friday night, coming off a really tough loss. No better way to put it, but a humiliating loss against Weiss. And we certainly, that's no slight to Weiss, because Weiss is 100% legit, real deal. It's going to be tough for them to lose. They're so athletic and fast and well-coached. But, you know, they blew us out, and that was probably overall just as devastating a loss while it was going on as we've had since we've opened up this program. So a lot of pride in how our kids responded to that. You know, we had a lot of discussion the Saturday morning after the Weiss game about the difference between responding and reacting, and you know, thinking, working people respond. And they did a great job of prepping all week and then coming out, and the defense was just exceeded expectations to pitch a shutout against a team that has some weapons without question. And, you know, we're certainly not unique in this sense, but at this point in the season, but a lot of young kids playing defense due to some injuries, you know, guys that if you told us week one, hey, you're in a crucial district ball game, three games into the district schedule, and these are going to be your starters, you know, it wouldn't have been panic mode, but we would have definitely said, hey, something's going wrong. You know, we're hitting a little patch of adversity. So for those young kids to step up last week was just a really big point to be able to build on. And very pleased with, like I said, after a tough loss and after kind of the way it happened, really, really pleased with how we responded overall as a team.
Yeah. Would you say, you've been around this game quite a while, so you know how kids quite often respond, and also not only how they respond to a loss, like what happened with Weiss, but to be able to turn around and you face a team that comes in with a reputation, and deservedly so, of having really tough defense, and we know about the blue chip talents of Alfred Collins and how Cedar Creek is with its defense, that your own defense, especially those where you've got younger guys going there, kind of take a great deal of pride in accepting the challenge, saying, hey, our defense is pretty good too, and they go out and pitch a shutout like that. Did you kind of get a vibe from your defense going into the game that they might rise up and have a performance like that?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, that certainly is the expectation and the standard. And we as a program pride ourselves on, number one, defense. Number two, on offense, the ability to run the football. And that doesn't mean that we run it 90% of the time, but, you know, you have to establish the run to open up the passing game, and we try to be as balanced as we can on offense. And then the last thing we try to emphasize is special teams. And we feel like at the high school level, if you can win the special teams battle in a closely or evenly matched game, that you have a tremendous advantage. So, you know, that was certainly the expectation. I mean, as coaches, sometimes you hold your breath knowing that there is a lot to kids having experience on Friday night, especially at the 5A level, when everyone you play has good players and everyone you play is well coached and they have great programs in this area. So, you know, we weren't shocked, weren't surprised, but definitely, definitely proud of the way our kids stepped up.
You talked about taking a great deal of pride in running the football, and you got really several different guys who share the load, but I wanted to get the thoughts from it on a couple of your seniors, Rondrick Stubblefield and Julian Morris, and what they meant in terms of what you need to get from them on the ground.
You know, Rondrick has been just, we call him one of the OGs because he was he's one of our guys who was in the original freshman class that started, you know, and last year's class of seniors was the first to graduate. But the guys who are seniors now were freshmen when this place opened. So they've been here from the beginning. And Ron has just been nothing but Mr. Reliable. You know, when he was a freshman, he was about 5'2" and probably 110 pounds soaking wet, and just did everything we've ever asked him to do in terms of off season, in terms of committing to our weight program. And, you know, he's certainly not a huge physical presence, but he's grown a lot and he's very strong and very quick. The thing that's most impressive about Ron is his ability to see cutback lanes in the zone running game, which is basically what we base our run game around. So he is, you know, he's been a tremendous spark plug for us at times. So he's kind of the lightning to Julian's thunder, who, you know, Julian is physically opposite of Ron. He's a big bruising type back who, you know, grinds it out between the tackles and occasionally breaks loose on the outside. We like to distribute the ball around. You know, we don't we don't have, nor do we really subscribe to the theory of giving it to one guy 30 times a game, because we got several guys who can carry the football. You know, another guy that fits in that mold is Shamir Nichols, who's another guy who's been with us from the beginning, and he had a broken wrist earlier in the season and just got out of that cast, but even with the cast on, was able to do some good stuff for us. So distributing the ball around and occasionally breaking off a little quarterback run on some of our read option game, we think suits us and our abilities very well.
Which is where I was going next. Obviously, we've seen that what Drew McGuire had done for you last year and this year. We know about the injuries and how they take a toll as well. And then also having Noah Reichhold in there. So what about how you feel what you're getting completely out of your quarterback game now?
You know, we feel like it's been an enhancement to our overall package offensively, because quite honestly, and if you ask any coach who played against us last year, they would tell you it was obvious on film that our plan was not to run the quarterback. And that was most definitely by design, because we really and truly had one. And if that guy goes down, we're just in the mode of finishing games, you know, and trying to get out of there with a receiver or somebody that we put back there. This year is different with Noah moving up from the JV last year, where he was a very, very successful quarterback on the JV level. You know, those guys worked really well together, competed for the spot all through spring football, all through fall camp. And, you know, no doubt that Drew has gotten the starts and gotten the majority of the snaps, but you know, there have been games, including last week, where because of the different abilities both of them bring, we've used them both throughout the course of the game. And you know, that's having the depth and having the confidence in the sense of if something breaks down, if something goes wrong, if you have an injury with one of them, we've got a guy that not only can finish games, but he can run the offense. So that builds a lot of confidence, not only on the coaching staff, but amongst the team as well.
Well, and we're visiting with Rod Schoenfeld, head coach of the Glen Grizzlies. They've got this big matchup coming up on Friday night on the road playing at Eastview. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Patriots, because I know there's a lot of things that impress you about team that you're going to be dealing with on Friday.
You know, every week this season, and it's going to be that way for the however long the season lasts, you know, folks in the hallways or up in the office at school here ask, well, hey, how do they look? And every week the response has been exactly the same, and it's been 100% honest. They're very good. So, you know, I heard you talking a little bit before we came on about the craziness of District 13, 5A Division 2, and it's, you know, it's every week is a dogfight. And I know that's cliche, but man, there's a lot of evenly matched teams, and everybody's good, and everybody's program does a great job with their kids. Eastview specifically, a lot of respect from them going way back to my Cedar Park days when we played against those guys. And, you know, a lot of speed, a lot of athletic ability, obviously well coached. They shared the district title with us in Brenham last year. So, you know, this is a team that knows how to win based on past experience and also based on what they've been doing so far this year. So, you know, this is just it's a buzzsaw. It's a meat grinder of a district. And every week you've got a tremendous challenge. And this week is no different, because, like I said, the thing that stands out to you most about Eastview is they've got great athleticism and a lot of speed at all over the field. And that's both defense and offense, and very dangerous in the return game on special teams. So it's one of those things where you've got to play technique. You've got to not give up big chunk plays. And offensively, you got to control the ball and not turn it over. And of course, that's the winning formula for any football game. But when you've got that level of explosive athlete that you're going against, you're probably not going to shut them out. You're probably not going to hold them to under 100 yards rushing. You've just got to minimize the damage and keep your defense off the field when you have the ball yourself.
This should be a lot of fun. Friday night in Georgetown, it is Glenn taking on Eastview. You can, by the way, hear that on the Horn Webcast Network, presented by IHS Fan. Alan Cepeda on the call on that one. And, Rob, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you on Friday night and the rest of the way for the Grizzlies this season.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, that's Coach Rob Chainfield, head coach of the Glenn Grizzlies. All right, coming up, we talk Westlake Chaparral's football with the head coach, Todd Dodge, when we continue with the Horn High School Spotlight here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Back to the High School Spotlight with Craig Way, presented by the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Network.
We continue with the Horn High School Spotlight and continuing our conversation with outstanding head coaches. I just visited with Rob Chainfield, head coach of the Glenn Grizzlies, and pleased to be joined by Westlake Chaparral's head coach, Todd Dodge, who joins us in studio each Wednesday to talk about this. The question that everybody likes to talk about, how does the team bounce back? How have they responded so far? I mean, that was definitely an extremely winnable game. Had the lead till late and then had an opportunity even in the final moments to win it, coming up 1 point short in that matchup with Lake Travis.
Well, we have bounced back and we will. You know, the one thing about having a rivalry right in the middle of a season and a real measuring stick is, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, it's kind of a toss-up when you got the two teams as evenly matched by about 50-50, whether or not you're going to have more points than they do or they're going to have more than you do. So in our situation, they had one more than we did, and we got the L. And now, you know, you have no other choice but to rebound and come back and put it behind you. And I knew the next morning, you know, on Saturday morning, all the kids were up and on time. We did what we normally do, win or lose on Saturday morning, and we've had good week work this week. It's been, you know, a lot of, you know, could be a lot of distractions with homecoming and with the 50th anniversary of our school, you know, being celebrated this weekend. A lot of people coming back, and you know, I told our players, I said, you know, let's all feel fortunate and that it fell on us. We get to represent 50 years of Westlake High School football in the 50th year. When all these people are coming back, and I don't know a homecoming game that was any good that if you didn't win it. So we've got a job to do, and with Del Valle, wow, they're playing really good right now. They're scoring nearly 60 points a game over the last four games and 46 on the year, and very, very talented bunch.
It's weird that I never really ask coaches to compare losses. This is more about comparing response, I suppose. The loss last year to Cy Ranch, I know everybody, I think I heard you describe, was thoroughly disgusted with the way the game ultimately played out in the loss last year. As opposed to this game, a slam-bang game against another outstanding team, a rivalry game, middle of the season, blah, 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 all of that. Did you see a different look in your guys' eyes coming out of the game this past weekend as opposed to what you had to deal with a year ago in a non-district game?
No doubt. You know, when we lost to Cy Ranch in 2018, we had one of the biggest meltdowns in the fourth quarter that I've ever witnessed or been a part of. You know, just every phase. And it was so uncharacteristic, especially from the first three quarters of that game. So the thing that we learned in that and all year long is it was disgusting. It was, you know, it was embarrassing. It was, and what we vowed last year was, you know, we've had our hiccup this year. We've had the time where we, you know, had the deer in the headlight look, and we just, you know, you kind of choked, to be honest with you, in that game. And it benefited us down the road. There was a very big motivating factor come fourth quarter for the rest of the year to not let that happen again, you know, and play really well. You know, this loss to Lake Travis, it hurts. You know, kids want it really bad. It's not embarrassing. They're a really good team. We had our chances. That's the, you know, probably the biggest thing that we learn is you can pick about two things on the offensive side of goal board, two things on the defensive side, and one thing on the kicking game. And in kicking game, we allowed a 65-yard kickoff return when we grabbed the momentum early. Offensively, we had four drives stopped by a penalty. Defensively, we did not create any turnovers in the game. And so there's, you know, it's about and when you look at a one-point ball game, those all three of those things could have made a difference in a one-point ball game. So those are the things that we're going to learn from is don't take that goal board for granted, that it'll absolutely tell the story.
Do you and like you said, I know the coaches are best served in dealing with the group and getting the group to play together, but it also a lot of coaching, and I've heard you talk about this before, is when you need to have a one-on-one conversation with one specific student athlete just to make sure that they're still you know, focused, that they're okay with things. Do you have to have a conversation like that with a David Ledbetter who's been right there for you and just barely came up short on the what could have been a game-winning field goal?
Yeah, David, golly, he's been, you know, once again, he was perfect up until that point. Mm-hmm. He had not missed an extra point, had not missed a field goal. You know, in David's defense, it was right on the edge of his range. In the point in the ball game, that's the best option that we had to win the ball game at that point where we were. But no, his teammates, to be honest with you, Craig, I didn't have to say anything because our culture took care of it. Our kids just wrapped themselves around him. You could see it happening. You know, the next practice we had was on Monday morning, and we kicked five field goals to begin every practice. He popped all five of them through, and I said, that's like you. That's who you are. And that's really all I ever said to him. You know, we had players in the game that are fabulous players for us that had rough nights, you know, and you know, there was some other guys that I brought in and said, listen, you know, sometimes when you play the cornerback position, you know, I mean, in football, you're out there on an island. You're out there for everybody to see. You know, when you play in the offense line and defense line and even kind of linebacker, you know, right in there, sometimes you may make some mistakes. A lot of people see them. When you're a cornerback, if you make a mistake, you know, everybody on God's green earth sees it. And so I had some conversations with some of our guys, you know, that I wouldn't trade you for anybody in high school football. And, you know, when you step out into the arena and you play good people, you know, you play that. But we're going to play. We have aspirations to play some really, really good people. We're going to in the rest of our district. A very motivated district that we're playing in right now, and then hopefully we win enough to get to the playoffs. We're going to play in some big dime ball games, and we'll learn from this loss.
Well, and also to continue like the honesty on this deal that in the touchdown passes that Lake Travis had, and you look at the highlights. They're plays made by receivers. It's not just, you know, when folks think, well, the cornerback got beat on the thing. I mean, what proved to be the game winner, I mean, Grayson Samlin makes a heck of a play to pull that down in the corner. It wasn't like he was left wide open on the play.
No, it's absolutely made a play. And then, you know, I told Hank after the game, congratulations. Probably barbecues on him this year. You know, probably pretty good chance he's got the front row to the district championship. But, you know, good luck to them. But it was, you know, that game, and I've oftentimes, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, that I'm not sure this is much of a rivalry because we haven't, you know, until the last few years held up our end of the bargain, but that felt like a rivalry. I mean, that felt like what a great rivalry ought to feel like when two groups of kids are getting after each other, and so they play well, and then they play, sometimes each one of them didn't play well because the other team caused them not to play well. And, you know, as much as we compete, I think Lake Travis and Westlake are very good for each other from a standpoint of a competition. You know the old deal, you know, iron sharpens iron or steel sharpens whatever that thing is. I think we sharpen each other as we go through the rest of the season. So good luck to them.
Well, and I know that you're happy about this. You and I rarely have the opportunity to talk about your team coming off a loss. So that's a good thing, and obviously in a statement about your program and everything. But I always ask coaches when they come off a defeat, not only about the response, but when you review film, and you just alluded to it just a moment ago, that gray area between how much do you put saying on your kids not playing well in a certain area and how much of it is the other team making your team not play well, or them making a play to do that. Yeah. I mean, because it's a real fine line for really good football teams.
No doubt. And really, I mean, you break that game down, and I don't know how other people do it. I know how we do it. And sometimes, you got to be careful. There was a lot of situations. We played really well in that game against a really good opponent. In the first half, defensively, I mean, we were really good. And offensively, in the second half, we were really good. I think the lesson we learned is more, complete consistency throughout. But there's no doubt, on defense, we only gave up two explosives. That's plays over 25 yards. However, the two that we gave up were two 25-plus yard touchdown throws, and very well executed on their part. So, once again, the thing that I tell our players that I usually hold comment on how well we played, how bad we played, how indifferent we played, whatever, until the next day, mm-hmm. until I've seen the video. But I tell them one thing. I tell them I love you. I appreciate your effort. Appreciate the way you stick together. Appreciate the way you care for one another. And that's half and a whole lot of the battle right there.
Visiting with Westlake Chaparral's head coach, Todd Dodge, here in the studio. And I guess this is also from the category of being thankful for what you have, because in visiting with Hank Carter yesterday, it was a tough day. Tough for them coming off of that. It was a win for them, but it was a costly win. I mean, you lose an outstanding player like Hudson Card, and Marcelo Alanis hurt, and they've had guys banged up, he said, on both sides of the ball. And I know you've got guys banged up, but fortunately you don't have anything catastrophic right now or anything like that. And that's a welcome thing.
Well, I hated absolutely for any of their players, and they've had their adversity this year with injuries, and I know that they'll bounce back. They got good players, but Hudson Card is he is a fabulous football player, really really tough kid, to do the things that he did the other night. And so hoping for his fast return and fast healing, but I know that they'll find someone to plug in. And we've been there before and had to do that. And, the bottom line is you can't, and I'm sure Hank, is doing that, and you can't let anybody feel sorry for themselves. It's next man up. And, we've been there in that deal. But that was tough news. Kind of knew that he it was a physical game, mm-hmm. Absolutely a physical game. But to know he probably played, part of the first half with a, broken foot, and that's a tough kid.
Speaking of the quarterbacks, I want to get your thoughts on your quarterback situation. We've talked about it at various times during the course of the year, and there was I think those who were there or were listening, whatever, they heard a lot of Kirkland Michaud in the game, mm-hmm. and your thoughts on where you are with your quarterback since Kirkland played the preponderance of the snaps for you the other night.
Right, Kirkland, as we went into the off week, and we went into the actual week of the Lake Travis game. At some point, I have to, regardless of how much I'm going to maybe pop someone in for a series here, series there, I've got to get one guy more preparation with the ones, and that's what we did in preparation for the game. In Kirkland, he settled down a little bit after about the first couple series. I mean, he led us on a 19-play drive to get the field goal in the first quarter and really played well the second half. And, he got a little dinged up and then, came back with Cade. And, Cade has a really nice skill set of being an accurate passer. And that's the three things they all have in common, is they're really accurate. But his ability to run the football, helped us out. And I was really proud of Cade, the way he stepped in. And as a sophomore in a very big setting, led us right down the field to get a score, let us down again. We were knocking on the door before we attempted the field goal. So, he had a series in the first half, and it was one of those that we were penalty ridden on the drive and didn't get a whole lot going. Couldn't kind of about three series in a row in the first half, we couldn't get out of our own way. And a lot of people want to talk to me about officials. This and that. I said, one thing is officials are part of the game, and that's. And we got to worry about ourselves, and whether or not we agree one way or the other, the thing we got to look at that video and go, yes, that was a penalty. We got to clean that up. Regardless of if you didn't get this or didn't get that, so we don't talk to our kids a whole lot about that. But I was really proud of Katie, and I'm very proud of, you know, the attitude that, that all of our quarterbacks are having. They're all, you know, pulling for one another. And as we go into this week's game, we'll have a plan of attack.
Okay. And by the way, for folks who are wondering about officiating, you can ask Texas Tech people, the Tech Baylor, or the Detroit Lions. It happens at all levels.
No, absolutely. You know, there's and again, that's – it is – I think that's part of, you know – when we play the game of football, our kids will never, in the middle of a game, just all of a sudden just start, you know, blaming or using it as a excuse. Because as soon as you start using things as an excuse, then you give yourself a kitchen pass not to play your best.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's somebody else's fault. Well, you know what? Really, in life, nobody really wants to hear it. You know, just be. You know, play hard, play efficient, you know, do what you're asked to do, and we'll go get after it.
Westlake will host El Valle this week. Now, you made reference to it, and I wanted to give you a chance to tell folks a little bit. I mean, this is 1969 is a 50th anniversary for so many things, going back to, you know, people talking about Woodstock and the Amazing Mets and all this other kind of stuff that happened. But it's a 50th anniversary of the 1969 Longhorns National Championship team. I know you're tied in, obviously, from your years at the University of Texas and follow what's going on there. And then Westlake High School opened 50 years ago this fall, and so there's a special celebration of that on campus this week.
Yeah, it's been, you know, in the works for about 3 years. Everybody's been talking about the 2019 fall will be the celebration of 50 years of Westlake High School, and you know, myself, my staff, and our players, we feel very blessed. It fell on us, and we felt an obligation to represent, you know, the great legacy of Westlake High School and Westlake football. And, you know, the great Coach Kenneth Dabbs was the first head coach. My father-in-law, the late Ebby Neptune, was his first assistant. They came in from Sweeney. You know, that's where they had been, and were the first staff for the Chaparrales. And
And by the way, we want to keep Coach Dabbs and his family in our thoughts and prayers. Yeah. We know he's been going through a struggle lately.
Yeah, everybody, please, with just absolutely love Coach Dabbs. And he recruited so many of us, myself and my three teammates out of Port Arthur. He recruited all four of us. Obviously, he recruited the great Earl Campbell and many, many others. And but, you know, he started here in Austin at Westlake, and probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later, he was a lead recruiter at the University of Texas, and rest is history.
So there'll be some ceremonial things that'll take place, and then, of course, it's homecoming on top of everything else, right?
Yeah, it'll be homecoming, but it'll be just on, you know, just over the top homecoming, because I told my wife, she's a Westlake graduate. She's an 81 graduate, and she's having a bunch of people over from her class. But it's literally like 50 years. It's like everybody's, you know, class reunion.
It's everybody's reunion.
Everybody's
right?
Class reunion all in 1 year. So, needless to say, the game is sold out a long time ago.
And then you mentioned El Valle. I mean, you think of El Valle, they got Caleb Burton, Tavier Dunlap. I mean, you know, they've got offensive weapons. I know that's impressed you from what you've seen from Coach Burton's team.
Well, they are 5-2 on the year. They're scoring over the last four games. It's right at 60 points a game. I mean, they are dynamic. Their speed, number 7, Lewis, the wide receiver, slot receiver, mm-hmm. just absolutely he may – very well may be the fastest guy in our league. Definitely, I think, the fastest player that we've played against this year. He can really scoot, and not far behind him is Caleb Burton, who's a fantastic young sophomore receiver. And their quarterback is, you know, if he at times this year, he can just put the ball on people. He's accurate. Tavi Dunlap, you know, enough said about him. I mean, the people that have offered him scholarships, they don't just offer someone who's not any good. He is really a good player. Offensive line's coming around. Their defense, the secondary, very athletic. You know, I think that's probably their sprint relay team that's lining up in their secondary. So, you know, we absolutely have our hands full. And once again, I tell our players that everybody has a job for homecoming. And our job is to focus in on winning the game.
Are any of your guys up for homecoming king?
No. They for some reason, I get – we don't ever get – but that's okay, though.
It's one less distraction you have to deal with, right?
One less distraction. That's right. That's exactly right. No, nobody on the team is up for it.
Westlake will host Del Valle on homecoming on Friday night at Chapp Stadium. Todd, thanks for the time. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. Up next, our Whataburger top five players to watch this week when we continue with the Horn High School Spotlight.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger top five.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top five players to watch.
The crucial nature of district games continues its rise toward the crescendo of the regular season. Now, we no longer have to say the words, there's just a few districts who haven't begun playing league contests yet, or even just one or two. Not only are all of the area's districts fully involved in league play, including the few 5 and 16 districts of the surrounding areas, but all across the state of Texas, district play is all that matters now. The games that ultimately determine who reaches the postseason, who has a shot at playing for a state championship. So, with all of this district play comes the players who determine how these district contests will go. With that, we bring you this week's Whataburger top five players to watch this week. Number five is actually two players from the same team, one on offense, the other on defense, quarterback Karsten Gross and linebacker Nathan Collins from Anderson. Both are seniors. Both are playing really well. Gross not only threw the ball well in last week's win over Aikens, he also ran for a pair of touchdowns. And Collins had eight tackles, a sack, and forced two fumbles in the win for the Trojans. If Anderson is going to continue its surprising run toward a possible playoff spot, they're going to need both of these guys and more than just a few others to play well on Friday night when Anderson faces Austin High in what is pretty much an elimination game in a battle for the final playoff spot out of 25-6A. And again, you can hear that contest here on the Horn, 104.9. Number four is Hutto sophomore quarterback Grayson Doggett. Now, we all heard the questions prior to the start of the season. Would the Hippos have a big drop-off of the most difference-making position on the field following the graduation of all-everything standout Chase Griffin? Well, so far, the answer is no. Not a big drop-off anyway. Doggett, the Hutto sophomore, has thrown for over 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns, but also importantly, has assumed the leadership role of the Hutto attack. Doggett has thrown five interceptions, so he and the Hippos offense will face its most difficult challenge of the season at Gupton Stadium on Friday night against the Cedar Park Timberwolves. Now, we all know about the prowess of Ryder Hernandez, the Timberwolves quarterback, and Hutto's defense will have its hands full defending him. The big watch in this case will be Doggett and the Hutto Hippos offense against the Black Rain defense. Number three is Lampasas junior quarterback Ace Whitehead. We've had our eye on young Mr. Whitehead this season, and he's posted some eye-popping numbers. 102 of 145 passes completed. That's a 70% completion percentage, over 1,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, just three interceptions. He's also rushed for over 200 yards and nine more scores. He's their kick returner, their place kicker, and now they have Liberty Hill. Liberty Hill, as the old Ric Flair saying goes, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And Liberty Hill has been the man. Whitehead and Lampasas aim to change that on Friday night. Number two, Round Rock senior all-purpose man Jordan Smart. In all that is the multifaceted attack of the Round Rock Dragons, Seth Ford's passing, Israel Morgan's running, Colin Sullivan's receiving, it could be the double threat talents of Smart that could make the difference in this week's showdown with Stony Point. He could give Stony the most trouble, and to prevent that, the Tigers will have to get Smart. And the number one player to watch this week, yeah, it's Stony Point running back Kendall Thomas, because if the Tigers are to have the success against Round Rock, Thomas, who's averaging 245 yards per game on the ground, will have to have another big contest. Our thanks to Coach Rob Schoenfeld of the Glen Grizzlies joining us, as well as Westlake Chaparral's head coach Todd Dodge here in studio. Tomorrow, Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. Thanks also for the music there of Herb Alpert from our producer, Adam Wagner. I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Spotlight.